Welcome to the board game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming and also a very proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Tonight is a special night. I'm joined by Steven.
Hey, hey, hey!
And only Steven. Seth is wrapping up his last few days of work over the summer before he returns to school, so he was not able to join us this evening, but I think Steven and I are just going to shoot the breeze and just do kind of a bros versus boredom cast and see how far we get.
Dude, I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. Just shooting the breeze. Crack open a beer. Wait. <no. laughs>
Well, you guys can do that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we started this thing, you guys were years away, but now, yeah, you could definitely do that.
We were just wee babes. All fresh-faced, a little twinkle in our eye, looking to take on the world. The world has already defeated us.
Well, that's why you're drinking.
Exactly. Full circle. It comes right around. No. No, actually, you know the funny thing, real quick? I've been 21 for how many months now?
A handful, yeah.
Yeah, like 3 months now. And I haven't done a single thing.
Right. Well,
that pertains to being 21. Like, I honestly forget that I am 21. So the other day, I went into a gas station with my dad, and they had the little, wish I remembered the name. But basically, they had the little, like, beer corner. Mm-hmm. And it was even, like, closed off. You had to go through, like, its own little door in this whole thing. And I looked at it for a good, you know, 20 seconds or so. And then I just realized and told my dad, like, you know, I could actually go in there now.
Right.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And then I bought, like, M&Ms and just left. But
nice. That's what I do, too.
Yeah, right? No.
And I've been 21 for a long time, so you don't have to feel bad.
Dude, you've been the drinking age for at least like 3 years now.
Right. Awesome. Well, let's talk board games.
Let's do that. Let's talk really obscure, random board games.
I like this idea. So before we started the cast, we each took 5 minutes and tried to find the most obscure board game on Board Game Geek, and we've got a few. These are lesser known, maybe not known by anybody, and we're gonna shine a little spotlight on them.
Dude, finally get them all that sweet quiche, you know?
Right.
These poor designers just trying to make a living. Nobody knows who they are, but we are going to change that.
That's
God.
Right. We are
with all of the intense sway
right
that our podcast holds.
We are champions of the little man.
Indeed. Well, I'll say this. I found a game so obscure. There's no image, no ratings, no comments, no nothing.
Okay. Well, let's kick it off with you then. What did you find?
Okay, well, just a minute. I'm going to post my link.
Oh, okay.
If I can. Let me see.
You're going to get with the times and try and be tech savvy?
No, it won't let me. Again.
Okay.
So, here we go. The surprising thing about this game... Well, I guess I should name it first. I'll name it. Here we go. If I can even pronounce this correctly, I believe it is Vlutkin Clans.
Okay.
And the surprising thing about this game is that it actually came out in 2014. And yet, there are no images of this game. No
okay.
ratings, no comments, no anything. But there is a full description on BoardGameGeek. So here, I'll read that out to you.
Okay.
Vlutkin Clans, and by the way, in Clans, it has a random capital N in the middle of the word and ends with a Z. So
okay,
there's that.
Course.
And in Vlutkin, it's all one word, and the K is randomly capitalized. These are very
okay.
important. So Vlootkin Clans is a card game for two players about the struggle of the Vlootkin for control over the Vlood. Okay. The energy upon which their world is built. Each player starts with two Vlootkin cards from different clans, and their goal is to not have the lowest influence Vlootkin when the game ends, and therefore be the player controlling the Vlood. This is an original stack-building card game for two players with a set of rules that are quick and simple to learn, but offering numerous strategic options and dirty tricks on the path to victory. And actually, oh wow, so there's only like 8 more paragraphs for this game.
Oh wow, okay.
I'll stop there, but
right.
Dude, being a Vlootkin, battling another clan for the control of the Vlood, I mean, that just sounds like a dream come true, but...
What is the Vlood, anyway? Does it actually...
all it says at the very top is that it's the energy upon which their world is built. So apparently it's like the life force of the planet. It's some all-encompassing power.
We'll ask Google what it's about.
Right. Here we go. I'm just going to search Vlood.
Vlood. is the largest city and former capital of...
Vivland.
I don't know how to pronounce that.
I have no idea. I also enjoy how in the Urban Dictionary, though, it is a friend or acquaintance on good terms with the user.
Okay.
Wow.
That is an obscure game. I wish there were images for this.
Right? There are images of Vlood.
Right.
Which are interesting and random. But yeah, I really wish there was mm-hmm. an image of this as well. It was designed by Stephen Winterflood, which Winterflood, uh-huh. how cool of a last name is that?
That is cool.
Who was also the artist and the uh-huh. publisher. Two players for only 20 minutes. Dude, it doesn't even have a complexity rating, so you just dive right on in there.
Right.
It's for all ages. No, okay.
The issue I have here is that I think I would rather play Winterflood the game than Vlootkin Clans. Like,
right?
Winterflood sounds like a
that sounds
much
awesome.
Better game.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, at the bottom, community stats, one person
uh-huh.
owns this game. And how much you want to bet that's Stephen Winterflood?
Well, we might have to go to his Board Game Geek page and see if he's got some images there for his game.
Oh, okay, so this was not in the description, but here it says that Vlootkin Clans is actually a digital card game, which could be why okay. there are no images of it, because no one's really taken you could still, screenshot it, at least, I suppose.
Sure.
But, and it will hopefully be heading for a physical version in 2014. There's not been an update since then. I feel like things didn't quite go as Steven had hoped or planned. But he is currently developing a number of other games for digital and physical platforms. So I am eagerly awaiting what else comes from my good friend Winterflood.
Right. Well.
So what have you got? What have you got, Adam? Hit me with
well,
it.
You know, this one actually has a weight and a complexity rating, and it's got some ratings as well. It's pretty obscure. Published in 2011, this game is called 21 Motines. I'm guessing that is a word for mutiny. Because
I would assume.
Yeah. So we'll just call this 21 Mutinies, because the goal of the game is to be the most successful captain after 21 mutinies have happened on your ship. So I'm not exactly sure.
At that point, aren't you already disqualified from being the most successful captain if there have been 21 mutinies? No.
Well, I guess depending on the number of crew, you may cycle back through and become the captain again.
True. Plus, I suppose you're probably playing maybe as a mutineer, in which case, dude, you got a fresh, you're just a clean slate in front of you when it comes to building that sweet, see Rep.
Right. And there are some images for this game. Looks like there are some cute little fish tokens that I'm guessing you use to feed your people as you're sailing the seven seas, or these are the things that you are harvesting from the ocean. I'm not quite sure. Looks like it got a publish by Asylum Games. I'm not exactly sure who that is. But yeah, it's got a rating of 6.8 and it's got a complexity rating of 1.9 out of 5. So this is a pretty simple game.
There you go.
Yeah, but I thought the theme of the game was pretty funny.
It's right up our alley, too, you know?
Mutiny on the High Seas.
Okay, I'm going to hit you real quick with one more. I know it's kind of against the rules, but the one I found was literally so obscure that I feel like I should also come up with one that's a little, at least semi-relevant. So another one that I found that actually, like yours, has ratings and, you know, weight and age, all of those things, is called Neuron.
Okay.
It was released in 2010, and it is an abstract tile-placing game in which players build a neural network by placing hexagonal pieces. The corners of the pieces are connected with lines and four different colors, and you have to connect each color to another one of the same color, I believe. So basically, when you're done building all of this, and it can be played single player or up to four players, when you're done connecting all these tiles, it creates this crazy neurological web of all of these. It looks, you know, kind of like digital trails or something you would see maybe on like a motherboard in your laptop or something. And the art, you know, when you see this, it sort of just plays with your head a little bit, but it also it looks kind of interesting, you know? It has a complexity rating of 2 out of 5. Only a play time of 20 minutes. As I said, it can be played single player if you want. Age 8 and up. It was published by a publisher I can't even pronounce.
Hutch.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just Hutch. And I was waiting for it to be like,
yeah. H-U-C-H. Exclamation point.
And it's in all caps, though, which is why it's extra late. Yeah. Is it just a sound? What is this? But
I hope it's just a sound. And it was designed by one of the most prolific game designers of the modern age, Rainer Knizia.
Dude, he's no Stephen Winterflood.
But right. I'm looking at images of this game, and it looks pretty cool, actually.
Right. However, it does only actually have a rating of 5.4.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess there's maybe something about the game that doesn't quite fit your fancy. But,
right. I wonder if it does get to a point where they're just aren't the right tiles anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that being a problem. I do actually enjoy even the box art pretty well, though. I mean, like, it's a totally, I don't know, professional-looking game, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kind of cool.
Speaking of tiles and abstract games.
Oh, man.
We haven't talked about Plaid Hat in a while. Our favorite publisher out there.
Did I ever actually agree to that?
No. Collectively.
You threw us all in the same little pot there. But to be fair, they published our favorite game. So I mean, you had Just Cause, but so I'll roll with you. I'll go along with that.
Yeah. I know you're a fan of Fantasy Flight, but Dead of Winter. Collectively, our favorite game, and we haven't talked about Plaid Hat in a while. They let 50 boxes of their newest game out into the wild. And this game is called Raxxon.
And Raxxon,
right?
That rings a bell.
For those not familiar with kind of the Dead of Winter lore, Raxxon is the pharmaceutical company that kind of caused the whole zombie outbreak to begin with. And this is interesting because it's set in the Dead of Winter universe, but this is an abstract game where, again, you're playing cooperatively, but what you're trying to do is evacuate the city before it gets overrun. And it looks like there are some familiar characters here and there that you may have seen before in other Dead of Winter fare, but I thought this was interesting. They only released 50, so there aren't very many out there. I don't think there's even anything on their website about this. But yeah, it looks lighter, certainly, than their other games, but a fun little abstract puzzle here.
This does actually look really cool. I am loving the fact that it's the same art style, which just further like ties it all together to the Dead of Winter games. In fact, it shows here, what I'm looking at, that it includes at least two new Dead of Winter survivors, even, that you can use with your Dead of Winter game. Katie James, a CDC official, and Meryl Wolf, a journalist. And each one has pretty insane stats, actually. But... That's pretty cool. Yeah. So have they released 50 and that's just it? Or is that like 50 as a teaser?
I believe it's just a teaser. But I think it's interesting the way that they promote their games sometimes. I mean, they didn't tell anybody. They just gave 50 games to a handful of probably notable reviewers and game houses and just said, have at it. And they're kind of letting the internet do the rest.
One thing, though, that I'm noticing here is somebody's lying because... Okay. That, and I'm not saying you, I'm just... Somewhere in the stream of things, there's a liar. Because on Board Game Geek, Raxon, it shows that there are 277 people who own it. And if there are only 50 copies, that somewhere the math just doesn't add up. I'm not very good at math, but that doesn't seem quite right.
Maybe it's one game shop and everybody who frequents the game shop is claiming it as theirs.
I can see that. Yep. Like, yeah. This is basically mine. I mean, I've played it 3 times, so.
This looks fun.
It's really cool. I like how simple the box art is.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
It has kind of the word Raxon faded into that kind of steely material. So, we'll have to keep our ear to the ground to see when this one actually makes its way to retailers. Because at a minimum, we need those two characters for our Dead of Winter.
Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now, since we're on the topic of Plathead games, I have a question here. Have you heard anything else about Dead of Winter expansion number 2?
Yeah.
Has it like even been released and I was just hiding in my hole and didn't realize? Or what's the latest with that, Adam? What's the latest?
Well, it's Dead of Winter, Warring Colonies, and I don't think it's been released yet. I think they're still in playtesting. They might have gone to print already, so they may be on a boat just headed this direction.
I got to thinking about it because you mentioned adding the Raxon survivors to our little collection.
Right.
And, of course, an expansion like this comes with more survivors as well. So
there's
even more content to throw into the pool.
In other Dead of Winter-related news... As of, I believe, yesterday, Dead of Winter has become a comic book.
What?
That you can purchase online, it looks like.
Wow. So it shows here, from what I can gather, that Sparky is actually the main character. And the story is going to be more or less told kind of like through his eyes, so to speak. So
that would be great.
Yeah, so a bunch of the other characters, of course, from the board game are going to show up, but technically we're following Sparky as he just kind of meets these people.
And I think that's actually a brilliant idea because Sparky's ability is that he is immune to the zombie infection. So just following Sparky...
As he just kind of casually walks around.
Right. He wanders from colony to colony and encounters kind of the characters we know and love from the Dead of Winter mythos. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're also drawn with a pretty lighthearted vibe as a whole, it seems like. I mean, they even describe it as being a hilarious mix of The Walking mm-hmm. Dead and Air Bud.
Okay.
And, you know, typically, you know, everybody who listens to the podcast at all knows that I'm Mr. Serious. I like realism. Mm-hmm. But for just a comic series like this, a casual comic series,
right?
That sounds pretty awesome. I won't mm-hmm. lie. Just a kind yeah. of a fun, sort of silly, yet with some serious overtones.
Right.
Story involving just this dog who randomly has a cape, and we don't really know why. But, yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah. But I would be interested in reading it for the Dead of Winter kind of story plots.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see maybe how they tie in information from the comic book now back into the board game. Or, right. you know, how they bring in little bits of information that we've learned from the board game then into mm-hmm. the comic book and then expand on that stuff further. Like, it would just be really interesting. You know, maybe it'll be kind of an independent story, and even though there are cameos from the mm-hmm. board game characters, it's still kind of like just its own thing. But I think it would be a lot of fun if it kind of just, you know, expands on the, as you said, the lore and the mythos and everything, and right. continues just building this now Dead of Winter universe, pretty much, we have.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would definitely give it a try. Show series, dude, it's only $3.99. However, age rating mature still.
Yes, yeah.
And the genre is actually considered horror and humor. So that's just, that just plays with your head right there.
Not right, the yeah. What I think would be cool, after people have read through this first edition, they should have like a crossroads situation at the end where it's popular vote gets to decide kind of the path that Sparky takes next. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, it would be kind of tough. I mean, I guess you would kind of storyboard both options, you know, mm-hmm. of course, ahead of time.
Right.
And then just kind of complete whichever one they vote for, I suppose. Mm-hmm. From a production standpoint, that could be a little challenging, but I really like the concept behind that, though, and
yeah.
you know, in interacting with your fan base,
right?
And your readers, that would be a lot of fun. I'm just waiting for the inevitable Dead of Winter video game, because we definitely don't have enough zombie video games,
right?
Or, you know, even, like, I can picture a TV show. It's right. funny. So, the Walking Dead TV show, I'm a pretty avid viewer of that show.
Right.
And it, every season, the story goes on during, like, the summer / fall or spring, you know, like, that time period. But then it always, the season ends right before winter, and when it resumes, it's always been, like, a few months time jump back mm-hmm. to like the next summer, basically.
Right.
So like the only season they never show on the Walking Dead is winter. So then you get the Dead of Winter TV show going mm-hmm. and it just fills in the little gap.
There you go.
Then you air the show on the off mm-hmm. season for the Walking Dead, and you just got nonstop zombie television.
Yeah, let's check in with a colony in Alaska somewhere. The frozen tundra.
That'd be sick.
It'd be fun for it to be a little bit more lighthearted, too.
Of course you would say that.
Yeah. I mean, Dead of Winter, a zombie apocalypse game, yes. But we have laughed so hard playing this game over just some of the random and just absurd things that have happened during some of our play sessions that I think, yeah, adding a little bit of humor to it. I mean, some of the characters are even funny. Forrest Plum, the mall Santa, there's a lot of humor to be had there.
It's true, and yet it's also funny because so much of the game is super edgy as well from the perspective of, I mean, some of the Crossroads cards are intense and even, you know, have like language and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And so it is a really interesting collision of kind of like what their comic book said of horror and random bits of humor. Like it's right. really funny, but it's part of what makes it so awesome. So yeah, it would be very entertaining if you were watching the show and you have, you know, one or two episodes that are like really serious and then all of a sudden the mall Santa shows up.
Right?
You're like, wait, what? No. But.
Well, I know Geek and Sundry did a short video based in the Dead of Winter universe. So there's already been a short live-action version of it, and that one obviously playing heavily on the humorous aspects of the game. But it would be fun to see a web series, a live-action one, that maybe, kind of like I was suggesting before, that fans could interact with a little bit more than a syndicated TV show. But anyway, Steven.
Yes.
I need to tell you about a game that is rocking my world.
Okay. I am ready. I've strapped myself in.
Okay. This is a game you've played, and I think you're going to agree.
Oh, boy.
Is a world-rocking game, and this is Marvel Legendary.
Oh!
It's funny because this game is already 5 years old, and yes. I hadn't played it until this last year.
Well, we're very behind the times, Adam. Just as a company, we're very slow on the uptake. But
so many games.
We haven't even played Terraforming Mars yet.
Well, Seth has. You and I haven't, but
us right here, right now, we have not played it.
No. But Marvel Legendary, 12 expansions out already. They're releasing, I think, 3 this year alone. And this is the best deck-building game I've ever played. This is a lot of fun. And the theme is excellent as well. I mean, it's superheroes, and they're very well-known ones from the Marvel Universe. But that aside, the mechanics of this game are solid, and it's cooperative, which I enjoy quite a bit, because I think all the other deck-building games I've played to this point have been competitive. So it's fun to work with another person who is also into the Marvel kind of universe, and you can get into the theme and take on the masterminds from, you know, any number of the comics at this point. I don't think they're running out of material for this game, and they keep pumping out the expansion. So I bought the base game and the Fantastic Four expansion, which was out of print, I think, for 4 years. But Upper Deck has, I guess, retrieved the license to print it as of this last month, so I'm pretty excited. I've been playing it solo, and it's been an excellent experience solo as well.
Right? No, dude, that's awesome. Yeah, I love this game. I've only played it a couple times, but like you said, the fact that it's co-op is something that, you know, it intrigued me long before I ever did get a chance to play it. And then after experiencing it, yeah, I loved the co-op aspect and even, yeah, the single-player aspect. I mean, the friend of mine who even told me about this game and invited me over to play it is someone who doesn't even like board games, you know, 90% of the time. Like, he hardly ever plays board games anymore, and he was, like, frothing at the mouth over this, which just goes to show how good it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, I am just a super nerd when it comes to a wide variety of things, but especially superheroes, Marvel and DC alike, And mm-hmm. so, yeah, the theme and the characters and all the expansions. I mean, my problem, and I've mentioned this about other things before, is that if I owned the game, I would just rinse through my money so fast trying to collect all of the different expansions at this point
mm-hmm.
That it would be the ruin of me. But I am really glad to hear that you are enjoying yourself because, yeah, it's a really, really good game. And I can't help but notice that the Fantastic Four expansion includes the mastermind Mole Man.
Yes, yes, it does.
Which I have a feeling is your favorite. Nah, to be honest.
I love the silliness of that. And there's a henchman group in there that burrow as well.
Yes.
So that's a lot of fun too. But yeah, I think this is one that I'm going to try and collect everything of. And I haven't done that with a game yet.
Dude, nice.
I don't know that we'll even collect everything for Dead of Winter, but this one has so much replayability and is so accessible. You can sit anybody who is, 8 years or older in front of this game and teach them how to play this. And it's light enough and entertaining enough and short enough that I think just about anybody who plays this would enjoy it, regardless of whether or not they like comic books.
Well, yeah, I mean, even somebody who's just watched like one Marvel movie mm-hmm. could probably get into this. I mean, or right. maybe somebody who doesn't even have much comic book knowledge at all just would mm-hmm. enjoy the sheer mechanics of how the gameplay works.
Right.
And so, yeah, I fully support your decision to collect all of this.
Yeah.
Then one day I will drive back up to Billings and we will just play nonstop for like 24 hours.
Right.
But I'm looking, one of the expansions that I'm particularly interested in, I haven't read about obviously every single one, but I see here that there is one called Paint the Town Red.
Yes, yeah.
And it includes, like, all of the various Spider-Man characters and supporting characters.
Yeah.
And that would be a lot of fun, because I'm mm-hmm. a pretty big Spider-Man fan. And then, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. as you said, Fantastic Four. There are so many.
Right.
And it's awesome because, I mean, the base game already has really solid replayability, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, just Paint the Town Red, one of, as you said, 12 expansions at this point, with more on the mm-hmm. way. The one expansion has 5 new heroes, 2 new villain groups with 2 new masterminds, mm-hmm. 4 new schemes, and has, like, over 100 cards.
Right.
In just the one expansion. So, I mean, if you picture, once you have even just 3 or 4 of the expansions, right there, you have so much content.
Right. You've got probably well over 1,000 cards at that point. And speaking of Spider-Man, their next expansion is Spider-Man Homecoming. So they will have 2 Spider-Man expansions here shortly. And Spider-Gwen shows up, I think, in one of these bigger box expansions as well. So just a lot of spideriness sprinkled throughout all of these expansions.
Dude, well, there you go. That's all you need.
Yeah, right?
I mean, between, obviously, Spider-Man himself, then you got mm-hmm. Spider-Woman, who's actually mm-hmm. super awesome. Then you got Spider-Gwen. Right. You got Silk. So many people.
Right.
Black Cat. Kind of just okay, but still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's interesting is Paint the Town Red looks like it comes with Moon Knight.
Yes. He's
definitely wearing all white. So the Paint the Town Red mechanic is a little, it's something is missing there. But
right?
he's still a cool character.
He needs to mix it up and dirty that uniform up a bit. And
dude, the blood of his enemies. No,
right,
well,
yeah.
That's a little too violent for Marvel, but no.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I am going to have to pace myself. I think I think maybe just an expansion or two every month is what I'm going to have to do here, because I'm in no hurry. I have a friend here who has all the expansions already, so I've played with a lot of the characters from these others. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and again, just something that, like you were saying, if somebody has seen Guardians of the Galaxy and that's kind of the extent of their Marvel knowledge, then you bust out the Guardians of the Galaxy expansion and you say you can play as Rocket and Groot and, you know, take on one of these notable masterminds. And I think they're going to have a lot of fun.
I would agree. Plus, yeah, you know, you mentioned earlier that you don't think they'll run out of content very soon. And I know that even if you go to the Marvel Wiki, there are currently 184,000 pages.
Wow.
So yeah, I think they have quite the pool to draw from.
Right.
Especially if they kind of release different variations of the same characters. As you mentioned, if they have Spider-Man Homecoming...
Right.
Maybe they'll just have like Spider-Man with a slightly different ability or different, you know, different artwork. It already said that in the Paint the Town Red expansion, it included the black suit Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, when he has the symbiote, mm-hmm, or like the Venom suit, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
And Agent Venom actually shows up as well in one of these expansions, so you can play as Venom.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All you Venom lovers out there. You might want to wait for my dogs to calm down a little bit.
Okay. They're just excited about Marvel Legendary.
Right? They just, they're like, Marvel?
Yes.
Well, the game, Adam, it is Legendary.
It is.
I mean, it's right there indeed in the title.
Right? It is aptly named. And here's another thing that I wasn't really that big a fan of until I started playing this, but card sleeves. Like, these are really helpful. I didn't expect them to be so helpful, but these cards get worn out. And having them in card sleeves means that they're never going to get worn out. So you can literally play the game forever. And it's made me think, you know, what other games do I need to sleeve that I play a lot? So I'm probably going to sleeve Pandemic and a few others now, just so those cards stay nice and healthy.
Dude, well, there you go, man. You got to keep the quality of your cards up if you want to even be considered a board game professional.
Yes.
It is actually funny. Seth has been using sleeves for quite a while, I believe.
Right, and for every his... Star Wars, right?
Yeah. And every time I've used any of his cards, I've always noticed, like, wow, these are really nice.
Yeah.
But then on my own time, it typically slips my mind. I do have one even just deck box, though,
mm-hmm,
which I know isn't quite as practical for a game like Legendary, but even that is very nice. So, dude,
right,
card upkeep and protection,
yes,
is just, it's very important.
And the thing with the sleeves is that kind of got me thinking, I could create my own cards for this game. So this is something I'm actually going to do. I'm going to mod my game. I'll probably take some of the heroes and their abilities that already exist, and I'm going to mod it for the Ninja Turtles. And I'll make my own cards and put them in these sleeves and add them to the deck, and I can play Legendary Ninja Turtles, and I could have Marvel heroes join them. So I think that's going to be fun.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, I've never been a huge TMNT fan myself.
Right.
But just the concept of, yeah, like modding it and adding whichever characters you want,
sure,
almost.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it. You could do the same with DC characters. So you could add Batman and all the others.
Marvel versus DC Legendary?
That would be cool. That would be cool.
It almost reminds me, though... well, no, you can finish your thought.
I was just going to say, card sleeves. Love them. I'm card a fan. Sleeves. Big fan.
The BGPLV stamp of approval. Card yes. sleeves. So there you go. And I know you've mentioned that there are a couple games already released that are very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, yeah. but Marvel versus DC, I mean, that's a classic one. I don't recall anything like that being released at the time. But
yeah, it's hard to get those two IPs to overlap. I think they do it with HeroClix. Oh, well, it looks like DC Comics HeroClix and Marvel HeroClix. So yeah, I guess if you want to overlap, HeroClix is doing it. So,
well, there you go. I have actually always been very intrigued by HeroClix.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the little minis, of course, and the fact that you can get DC and now, you know, Marvel and whoever, and they even have the different versions of the characters. Like, mm-hmm. I saw they had HeroClix for Batman versus Superman.
Right.
So, you know, like the little Batman mini and the Superman mini were, of course, styled after their movie counterparts. And, mm-hmm. and all of those sorts of things have me written all over it.
Right.
But the only thing is, I've almost never actually understood how the game really works.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I look at the characters and I've read about it, and I'm just sort of like, eh.
It almost feels to me like a younger person's game, and I'm not sure if that's true or not. But it feels, I think, what you're alluding to, maybe a bit light for me. And yeah, the mechanics just not as interesting as something else.
Well, it shows here, I just now looked it up again, on Board Game Geek. Last time mm-hmm. I researched this, I was less edumacated than I okay. am now. Uh-huh. So I didn't actually read about it on Google Board Game Geek. I just kind of read a couple of random like forums or something. I don't know.
Right.
But anyways, it actually shows that the complexity rating is 2.8 out of 5.
Okay.
It is for ages 10 and up. The community says 12 and up.
Okay.
A playtime of about 60 minutes. And says, even just right here, it utilizes superhero characters from the Marvel and DC Comics universes. The mm-hmm. game plays much like a miniatures game, but without the measure and move system or the constant consultation of hit charts. Rather, most of the vital statistical information is directly on the base of the characters, which can be rotated as characters take damage from hits.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's basically just like you're on a tabletop. You can play with a mat or without one. Like, I've seen images of people actually rolling out a mat on the table that mm-hmm. makes it look like a city street, for example, or something like right. that. And then you just sort of, you know, each character, I would assume, has like a movement range. So I'm not entirely sure how you would figure out how far you can move. I don't know. See, this is what I yeah. mean. I always get right. confused.
I don't know but, either. But yes, it would be the theme that would grab me on this game. If I'm going to play a miniatures game, I don't know that this would be the one I would play. But the theme certainly grabs my attention.
Indeed.
Well, that's the end of our bros versus boredom.
Is it?
Show notes. I think it is.
Well, yeah, the show notes.
Yeah.
I actually have a question, though. It's okay. not on the show. I'm going off the show notes here.
Okay.
Like a wild man.
Let's hear it.
It's a question for you, Adam. It's the official BGPLB advice column.
Okay.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, you are an architectural designer, yes?
Yes, this is
your
true.
Your technical term.
Yep.
And of course, aside from the designing, you know, floor plans or doing building renderings, you also, I know, are a pretty talented artist just on the day to day. You know, you enjoy making your little sketches and comic book kind of style figures.
Right.
And your little characters. I have been getting more and more interested in art myself, particularly just, you know, pencil sketches and drawing, things like that. I'm not too into paint.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been into this kind of stuff, you know, the basic art since I was even little, and I just, it's kind of been, there's been a resurgence in recent weeks. You know, anything I've, you know, even been looking at concept art for video games and movies and various things online. And I was just wondering, though, if you, for both myself and potentially any listeners, if we actually air this, have any kind of advice, I guess, from an art slash like creativity point of view for somebody who wants to get kind of more involved with that. Like, do you have any even just drawing tips, design tips? Like, what are you...
Yeah.
What is your advice here?
I would say, for those getting into drawing or art in general, I have a really hefty collection of reference art that I've gathered over probably the last 5 or 6 years from websites like Dribbble and 3D Total. And some people will probably laugh, but Pinterest is an extraordinary resource for reference. And I'm probably on Pinterest for a few minutes every day looking at different illustrative styles, different architectural design. So I think I've amassed over 10,000 different images just on Pinterest alone. And you can find styles that you're interested in replicating. And for people just getting starting, that's what you do. You find an artist that you appreciate. And I would recommend trying to just copy their art style. Trying to replicate a design style that you enjoy, you're going to come into your own eventually. It's just going to take practice. But yeah, I'd start with lots of reference because that gets you excited too.
Because I, it's funny that you say that actually, because these past few weeks, like I mentioned, as I've been getting more interested in all of this, I have actually been doing just that.
Nice.
I have been just even Googling images. As you said, Pinterest is actually very handy. It's really cool how people will, as you said, have like whole portfolios almost of art,
right,
of various themes and styles, and you can just scroll through their whole little library and draw inspiration from that or wherever. I've primarily, as I said, just, you know, been Googling random, maybe you know, comic book characters or anything like that that I like.
Right.
And then, as you said, I've been freehand just basically trying to copy the picture and redraw it myself. Just transfer what I see, like, from my computer screen onto my sketch pad. And so it's really cool to hear you say that. I'm kind of at that stage. I was wondering, you know, wow, so if I'm just always basically copying stuff, will I really, you know, increase in talent necessarily or not?
Oh, yeah.
Because at this point, you know, it seems like if I just sat down somewhere and was just going to draw something from scratch, I have no idea if I could really make that look all that great.
Right. Well, it's tough with humans because they are one of the hardest things to draw because we are all a human. So when we see something that's not accurate, even if it's off by just a little bit, I mean, we're going to notice because we're familiar with the way human beings look. And in regards to copying kind of artists that you enjoy, that's how the masters trained their apprentices. You know, during the Renaissance, somebody under Michelangelo, he would task those under him to recreate the things that he was creating as close as they could. And then eventually they would develop their own art style. So it's a technique that people have been using for centuries. Another thing you can do, if you have action figures, you can pose those and use them as reference and throw light on them, because then you can see how the shadows are actually kind of casting over the muscle structure and whatnot. So if you've got action figures, those are handy as well.
That's really cool. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that. It's almost like your own little mini model.
Right, yeah. Good question.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been, like I said, I've always just been really into concept art. And, you know, I've always been even Mr. Mr. Art when it comes to board games. I'm always pointing out, I really like the art in this game. Right. The art style didn't seem to quite fit. And so finally I've been kind of experimenting with some of that myself. And I was just eager for some knowledge.
Yeah.
From someone who has a little bit of experience.
There's some good artwork out there on some of these board games. Graphic designers, too, should be looking at board games. I have actually designed a few different types of playing card with stats and whatnot just for fun because I was inspired by playing a board game and wanted to try my hand at, you know, how can I fit all this information and character stats onto just the size of a playing card? And I dropped a file in your Dropbox, Steven, and you can see. Yeah, if you're a graphic designer, you should be looking at board games, too.
Well, cool.
Well, this has been fun. We are speaking this evening without Seth, so it was nice for a couple of bros to take on boredom and just talk about some random board gamey stuff.
Yeah. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Plus, do any chance I get to just kick boredom... Wow, I didn't even say that. Boredom. Just right in its fanny.
Now, right?
I will just jump on. Because I hate being bored. That's, in fact, going back real briefly to the art thing,
mm-hmm.
That's even part of why I started drawing. Because these past few weeks I've had moments, kind of down times, you know, where I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, I'm kind of bored. And I don't really feel like playing a video game or... Mm-hmm. Really watching Netflix or doing whatever.
Yeah.
And so I started drawing. And then the more I draw, the more I'm getting into it. And I think it's really important to be creative.
Yeah.
I feel like people say that a lot, but it's just true. You know, like whether, you know, some people are creative at their jobs. Some mm-hmm. people are creative at school. Some people have a creative hobby. But whatever it is, you have to get... that energy and those thoughts and all that just kind of out in
right.
some way. You have to have an outlet, I think, for all of that. It's healthy and it is a lot of fun.
Right. Everybody should find something that they can, yeah, like you said, just expel those creative juices, whether it's art or music or storytelling or landscape.
Like, writing.
I mean, gardening is very creative.
It's true.
There are so many different avenues that you can take to satisfy that itch.
I haven't hooked on to writing as much yet as mm-hmm. I have to drawing, but it definitely is fun to express yourself in that way as well. You know,
right.
You have these ideas and just write those down. Even if it's not like a fully fleshed out, you know, beautiful story that can be just mm-hmm. published right away, even if you just... jot down some notes and just get all that out. I think it's
yeah.
really good for your mental state and just the whole deal.
And it's good for everybody around you because you don't have all this pent-up creative energy that you are
right.
holding in and frustrating yeah. everybody.
And it turns into a nervous tick.
Right. and another thing is a lot of the creative things that I like to do kind of all overlap within board gaming itself. So I've got half a dozen game design ideas that I've jotted down. And I mean, we've tinkered around with creating tiles and a playable game in the past. And that's also, even if you're just going to create a game for yourself and your friends, so worth it to try and do because process is just as much fun.
In fact, it's interesting that you mentioned the process because I'm working at, you know, a coffee shop right now. Man, I want to come up with a new kind of drink.
Right.
What flavors do I think would go well together? What mm-hmm. flavors do people like? What's popular right now? You know, it's summer, it's winter, obviously. That's pretty obvious. Should I do hot or iced?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could use that for almost anything, you know?
Right.
And it's all, but at the base of it all, in a lot of ways, is still... creativity. And
right.
That's what I'm endorsing right now. So if my endorsement as Steven from Board Game Point of View means anything,
right.
That's there you go. I endorse
right.
creativity.
Go and create, everybody. Go and create.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, do you have any final thoughts?
Nope, I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, I think this has been episode 49 of the Board Game Point of View.
There you go. Now we have to break it to Seth that we recorded without telling him. Sorry, Seth.
Well, it started out as just a short segment, but I think it expanded into a full episode. I really enjoyed it.
We created
we did
a full episode out of it. Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, join us again soon for episode number 50. That's insane.
The big 50.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have to do something special.
Like actually invite Seth back?
I think what we need to do is meet you in Wyoming and do a cast during the eclipse. That would be sweet.
Dude, during the eclipse. The funny thing is that could actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, I think it might.
And now I'm getting straight hyped.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's put it on the books. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.